invite you to find a comfortable spot in your seat to take a deep breath for this moment of silent reflection, for all the joys, for the sorrows we heard, to hear this prayer, these words from Reverend Tamara Lebach. Holy One who has given us the breath of life, today we remember to breathe deeply, to rest, to take in, to pause before we act, and then to take in another deep breath, poised on the edge, and risk jumping in. We risk taking action, we risk speaking up, risk using the gifts we have been given, so that at the end of our life, we can say with absolute clarity that no part of our existence was wasted, either in fear of failure or fear of success. Hold us, O Holy One. Prepare us the way to begin to offer the gift of our presence full of love and light today. For we offer these, the prayers of our hearts, in this silence. May we pray. We have two readings this morning, and as always, one is different than the order of service. The first I will do from Audre Lorde, which is listed, and then a second. Audre Lorde writes, "For those of us who live at the shoreline, standing upon the constant edges of decision, crucial and alone, for those of us who cannot indulge the passing dreams of choice, for those of us who are imprinted with fear like a faint line in the center of our foreheads, learning to be afraid with our mother's milk. For by this weapon, this illusion of some safety to be found, the heavy-footed hoped to silence us, for all of us, this instant and this triumph, we must know that we were never meant to survive. When the sun rises, we are afraid it might not return or remain. And when the sun sets, we are afraid it might not rise in the morning. And when we speak, we are afraid our words will not be heard or welcomed. But when we are silent, we are still afraid. So it is better to speak, remembering we were never meant merely to survive." Our second reading comes from Hope Douglas Harlmold. She's a minister of another faith, and she writes, "If we are truly people of faith, we must be willing to fail more often. If we fail infrequently, it means that we are not acting boldly enough or lovingly enough of the time. It means we are hiding behind walls of past successes and shrinking from present-day risks, which will determine what is possible. Unless we fail on a regular basis, the holy, whatever that is, the holy will have insufficient raw material with which to work. It is from our haphazard ways that the Holy One can sculpt works of art, so be unafraid. Dare to fail more often." I invite you to think of those two readings as we receive this morning's offering. As part of our work together, part of our offering each month goes to a community program to make the world a more just place. This month, we're partnering with the Prince William Professional Firefighters to offer new coats to children this winter. This morning's offering will now be taken and gratefully received. I want to take a moment to say thank you for that gift and the gift of the offering that you all offer to this congregation. All of you know I'm new here, and so it would be easier for me just to play it safe. And I am someone who plays it safe. I am not a gambler. But it was pretty interesting when I thought of this sermon topic of risk. Anise and I, as we talked about it, we got really excited. Oh, we should try this and that. And Anise came up with this idea with Jeanette, I think, to do the drumming, which was perfect. A great activity to get us to try something new. And so we wanted to embody risk-taking in a different way. So I'm turning it over to you. So what I loved, one, is trying something new and not being a musician myself, not being sure how that would go, but also taking the chance of learning something from Anise, which I do daily, but also you all having that clear opportunity. So thank you for doing that with us. So I have in my life tried to take on this kind of mantra, this mentality of taking a chance. Sometime in high school, I forget when it was, but I took on this mentality of letting go of regrets. I only had this life. It was sort of YOLO before YOLO was a thing. You only live once, you know? It was sort of an anti-afterlife, rich humanism. I wish I had found this line from Cynthia Heimel earlier. She writes, "When in doubt, make a fool of yourself." I did that anyway, but she says do it on purpose. She writes, "There's a microscopically thin line between being brilliantly creative and acting like the most gigantic idiot on earth. So what the hell, leap." I love that line. I love the idea that there's really just a thin line between doing something great and falling down, making a mistake, going for it. This is why every 4 years, I believe, we love to watch the Olympics. Never quite sure what risk, what gamble will pay off. Seeing people invest their time and energy and hard work, not being sure if their leaps will make it. Now, you should know that we're still in a period of getting to know one another and learning from one another. You should know I'm not a risk taker. I am not a gambler. Often this is translated in minor ways. I don't do the lottery very often. When I play poker, it's usually for $5, no more. Low stakes game. I have a retirement account. It's already very, very, very conservative, though I'm pretty young. Even schools and jobs. When I was applying for colleges, I didn't really reach. I applied for good schools, but schools that I knew I had a pretty good shot of getting into. There's a fear there that we might fall down, that risk, something might not work out, that vulnerability. And I often would fear if I told people that I applied or tried to get so-and-so, get into such-and-such school or this job, how it would look if I didn't get it. Sometimes those risks or gambles paid off. Now I use those two words, but let me explain why I use those two words, because I don't see them interchangeably. A gamble to me is something in which I don't have much investment. A gamble is one of those lottery tickets where I don't care if I win or lose, I don't have a whole lot riding on it, but a risk is something where I have true investment. So there was one gamble that paid off really well for me. It's a story that I will pass down to my kid, and I will tell until everyone is so tired of hearing about it. A couple of years ago on vacation, we found out that one of my favorite bands was playing a concert close by. It was the Indigo Girls. And I thought, well, let's go. We can get tickets. I looked online, and we were Facebook friends, as much as you can be with a famous band. And I was looking at their set list, and I noticed that my favorite song they never sang. So I gambled. I said, hey, wouldn't it be really neat if you played Blank song? I assumed no one except for their fans read their Facebook page. Probably no one but their Facebook friends reads their Facebook page. But as we sat in the upper deck of that concert hall that night, or the next night, sure enough, for the first time in over 2 years, the Indigo Girls sang the song I requested. I bawled. Tears streamed down my face, and I hadn't told my partner because I didn't want to risk the embarrassment of her knowing that I had gone to my favorite band's webpage and made a request of a song that of course they weren't going to play. What are the odds? This really not famous song, one that spoke to me but probably not to any others, had no commercial success. That was a gamble. It speaks to me in some point of our humanism, my belief that we are called to speak our needs and to ask for what it is we want, to do what is within our human ability to do, and other humans within relationship can make it happen. But still, it's a gamble. If they didn't sing that song, I would have enjoyed myself nonetheless. But it was magic for me that night. But there have been other risks, even getting Saragetti to be my partner. If you've been in a relationship, you may have had this yourself, just that tentativeness of asking someone out, whether in person or over the internet. Saragetti and I knew each other for years before we dated. One day, I thought I had an opening, so I took a leap of faith. At the time, it seemed clear to me that she wanted me to ask her. It wasn't so clear. And so I said, "Would you like to go on a date?" And she laughed. Kind of like you, but a bit longer. That's more like it. She never said no. She just laughed hysterically for a really long time. I stood there, nervously laughing. But it was a risk all the same. Why was this a risk and not a gamble? Because I had invested time and emotion and energy into a relationship. It's not something I could just walk away from because there was a friendship and a connection there that went deeper. Even with Brew, both on my end and your end, we have a risk here. Just last week, someone mentioned as they were checking out different churches that looking at churches is a little bit like going on first dates with less reward at the end. Okay. You get there. It's true. There is an element of risk and reward, and there's a question of what return on investment you'll get. And yet there is the lesson within that very phrase, that if you invest your time, your resources, your energy, your love, you'll get a return on it. The songs we sing, "Reach Out Your Hands, Take a Chance on Life, Take a Leap of Faith," really speak to me when it comes to risks. A number of years ago, I went with friends on a hike. At least that's what they told me it would be. "We're going for a hike. Bring good hiking shoes." So I brought hiking boots. What else was I going to bring? So we get out of the cars. I look around and no one else has hiking boots. They all have sandals. Turns out we're walking through rivers and creeks because we're going to go dive off a cliff into a lake. I didn't get what was going on. And as I told you, I'm not a gambler, not a risk taker. Not sure this is for me, but I didn't want to back out. I wanted to be with this group. And so, with everyone else, I kept walking a little bit slow because, as you can imagine, in large boots that went up to about here in the water, it took a while to sludge forth with all the water soaking in there. But I got there. Everyone else got to the rocks. They would climb up there. Most of the people in the group, there were probably 15 or so, most of them jumped off the rocks into the lake. These were old friends. They had done this countless times. There was one guy who sat on the rocks and said he was not jumping. And then there was me, who would continuously walk up to the edge, look down, calculate, look back. I had taken off the boots. Figured that would just sink me altogether. So I'd taken off the boots. I'd walk up to, and everyone had their advice. Don't overthink it. Don't overthink it. Just jump. Isn't that what you would probably say? Just jump. And in many ways, as we talk about taking a chance on life or a leap of faith, that's what we think, that just doing it, just taking the risk is important. And so I would walk up, and I'd come back. I'd go to the edge and back and forth. And even the young man who was sitting on the corner who decided he wasn't going to jump just said, "Just stop it. You're making me anxious." Fair. What do you think I was doing? Building up nerve. Being insecure. So, Mona, what'd someone say calculating? That's close to it. That's what I, you know, what I was doing was, because this is how my brain works, for whatever, good or bad, I was calculating, okay, if I just jump from here, how much do I have to jump to avoid the rocks? If I go back there, do I run? Will I slip? I was trying to figure out the mechanics of it. Everyone else seemed to know just what to do, but I had to make some sense of it. So while most people said, just do it, the way for me to take the risk was to make some sense of it. And still I wasn't sure. I wanted to, and I had this ethos from my childhood, no regrets, and yet I'd heard all these stories, and we were talking about it during coffee hour. Folks from first service, you hear these stories. Day before a wedding, bachelor party, someone gets hurt. It's a calculating risk. So show of hands, taking a vote, how many of you think I backed out? It's okay, I don't care what you think. that's a few number. I think first service it was like split even. So most of you think I jumped? Do you think I jumped? Yeah, I did, okay. We'll just get through it. Nice, yeah, I jumped. And this is, I was scared of heights for a long time, but I just jumped. And it's amazing because, as is often the case, and you probably know this as well as I do, the jump wasn't what I thought. The landing wasn't what I thought. The water underneath it, as much as I tried to plan for what it would be like, to imagine what it would be to hit the water, to go underneath it, none of it was what I thought it would be, and yet it was still fun. And that's part of the risk element. Here's what's great about that. I would have, but they were ready to go. And they were like, you kind of took too long. So it's time to go. So I did not get the chance, but I would have. Sure. Oh, Faye. Faye and I are going rock jumping after this. We're going to do a baptism. You're willing to. This is it. For me, it's jumping off a cliff. For you, it may be something different. It's funny, we all have these different things, and they're not rational. I told folks during coffee hour, cliff with the rocks, and I wasn't sure what was underneath. And truthfully, and I can show folks, I hit a rock underneath, and I now have a huge scar on my leg. And that's what happens. But if you, and I mentioned this in candidating week, and someone, I think it was Christine, remembered, I would love to skydive. That's a risk that doesn't scare me at all. For all of us, yeah, listen to this. You're like, what? I don't know. Probably hit my head in the water. We all have risks we're willing to take, some of them physical. We all have risks we're not willing to take, some of them emotional. Think about it. There are many times where it's easier to go and do something that's safe over and over again, or it's easy not to get committed, not to make ourselves vulnerable, not to show who we are truly to one another so that we don't risk anything. The gamble is safe. The risk, not so much. In many ways, this is what it means to be a Unitarian Universalist, to take the big risks and to pick ourselves up after the falls, and in so doing, ask the hard questions and learn and grow from it. Eric Fromm, this writer, writes, to have faith requires courage, the ability to take a risk, the readiness even to accept pain and disappointment. Whoever insists on safety and security as conditions of life doesn't have faith. The practice of faith and courage begins in daily life, and the first step is noticing when we lose it. But it's also going beyond that and loving. To love means to commit oneself without guarantee, to give oneself completely. Love is an act of faith, and whoever is of little faith is also of little love. It means going beyond the secure. And taking a risk means that the beats don't always come together, the notes don't always sound right, the goal isn't always reached, it isn't always what we imagine. Sometimes it's scary, it's hard, it's dissonant or bad or rough. But sometimes it's fun or good or worth it in a different way. Church is like that. Like you, I've been to just as many worship services where I got up, I committed, I invested the hour, and the return on investment was less than I had hoped it would be. Some of those were the services I led. It's true. And I've been to just as many where I thought that my life had been transformed, even if I expected that it was going to be, not so great. One of the reasons that happens is when a church comes together looking to transform lives. Dan Hotchkiss, a UU who writes about churches, says this: congregations do some of their best work when, instead of giving people what they want, they teach them to want new things. A congregation that limits its vision to pleasing its members is falling short of its true purpose. So instead of giving people what they want, we should be teaching you to want new things. So it's not just about taking a gamble. In many ways, gambling is easy because there is no investment that you'll lose. The pain, not that big of a deal if it doesn't come through. But when you're invested, when you put your time and your energy and your connections and your love into it and things don't pay off, that's what hurts. Are you willing to take the risk then? Are you willing to show up time and time again, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's work, whether it's church, whether it's our country, which continues to fail us time and time again in different ways? Are you willing to take a risk, knowing it's going to be dissonant, wrong, weird, but that sometime by your leap of faith, it might be made right? I end with this poem from Donna Markova, one of my old acting teachers. She writes this: I will not die an unlived life. I will not live in fear of falling or catching fire. I will choose to inhabit my days, to allow my living to open me, to make me less afraid, more accessible, to loosen my heart until it becomes a wing, a torch, a promise. I choose to risk my significance, to live so that which came to me as a seed goes to the next as a blossom, and that which came to me as a blossom goes on as a fruit. Whatever has come to your life as a seed, may it go forth living and blossoming. Please join me for our spoken and song benediction. As we go out into the world, may we be changed and changing, loved and loving. We are called by all that is holy, nature, humanity, spirit, and God, to be fair and kind, just and whole. Go from here in peace.